When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Think of an investigation that's stuck with you in recent years. Do you remember how it made you feel? What about how you came across it? Was it a front page of a paper, a TV documentary, a feature film, or did you hear about it on social media? There are more ways than ever for us to consume the news. But on today's programme, we explore a group of journalists right at the vanguard of a new medium. Telling investigative stories through music.
My name is Leah Borromeo, and I'm a journalist and one of the devisers of Climate Symphony.
The story of Leah's journey into making music from investigations started with another journalist, the late Gavin McFadyen.
Who, you know, is a supporter of all things troublemaking. And is a journalist and filmmaker of ill repute, which I quite like in the good sense of ill repute.
Gavin was head of the Centre for Investigative Journalism right up until his death earlier this year. A couple of years ago, he was holding a hack day, a session where journalists could come together and share ideas to try and crack a particular problem.
Where they're inviting journalists to reframe climate change, and to reframe how we saw the story of climate change. And whilst there, I was sort of sitting there going, okay, people are coming up with apps and people are thinking about, you know, various ways of storytelling, but everyone's really relying on words and on pictures. So I was in a conversation with another chap at who's still at the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, a guy called Jack Searle, when we started talking about music. And then it kind of hit us in the sense that, well, why don't we see if we can use sound as a reporting tool?
It was a bold concept, especially when it comes to something as data-driven and complex as climate change reporting. Excited by the idea, Leah and Jack pulled in other journalists at the hack day.
And by the end of the day, we'd come up with a kind of the rudimentary sort of soul, I suppose, of what ultimately became Climate Symphony.
As she left that day, Leah was excited about the idea she'd stumbled upon, and she pulled in her colleagues from film company Disobedient Films, and her musician friend, Jamie Pereira. So, it was in late August that I headed round to Jamie's music studio in Hackney, London,
mandolin.
To talk through one of their pieces.
Six guitars and a mandolin.
It's gratuitous, but the people keep on giving me guitars, so those. It's quite good, man.
Yeah, it's quite good. Good setup.
Okay.
Leah was onto an idea, making music that reported on climate change. But that's a big topic. She and her team needed to narrow their focus down and work out which story within that topic to tell. They decided to road test the idea, running more hack days on their own around the country, where journalists and others were invited to come and try playing with the idea of sonifying data.
We invited a number of artists, scientists and journalists to locations around sort of the south of England and also the north of England to come and play with us with the concept.
A friend recommended the team reach out to a new charity called We Are the Oceans, and they in turn suggested that the story of ocean plastic could be an interesting area to explore.
And we said, sure, I guess if we could make it work.
So they had a goal. They wanted to tell the story of ocean plastic in music form.
So it's a case of where we are, how we got there, and also, you know, what can we do, or what would happen if we reduce plastic consumption, for instance, and what will we do if we increased plastic consumption? You know, what would these things sound like? What could things have possibly sounded like before we started chucking our bags into the sea?
Now they have an idea. They need data. And to get that, they need experts.
There's basically a scientist that we found, or who we found, who works with Imperial College, who's, and this is the amazing thing about the science community, is you know, nothing is ever too niche for what you could possibly ask for. And you look hard enough and you'll find somebody who's made it their life's work. And this particular scientist, a guy called Eric Van Sibiel, is somebody who has made it his life's work to chart plastics in the oceans.
So they sent him an email, and soon the team were talking to him regularly from his home in the Netherlands on a messaging platform called Jitsi.
We were all sort of sitting here, and he was there in a kind of godlike status on the computer screen, firing, you know, places where we should probably be looking or where we would like to look, because what we would do is just ask him, you know, where do we find this? And he goes, oh, we can just do it here. Have you seen this? And it's like, okay. So, you know, we're very, very happy to be guided by the people who've actually made it their life's work to look for this, because that's not something that, you know, we dabble and we can come in like most journalists in something. You become intensely and deeply interested in something, but only rarely will you ever actually be the specialist on it, because actually the specialists are the people who are actually directly involved and who are at the coalface of that.
The things he was pointing the team to were incredibly useful.
And then, you know, he's done it to various sort of modelling formats. He's done it to be able to actually give us data that's visualised. And, you know, there's a lot of material that's there, and there's a lot of material that's been peer-reviewed. And he also is more than happy to link us up with other people who've, you know, he's been taking some information from, and then they've also been happy to link us up with other people who've been taking information. It's just, and then it starts becoming this, I don't know, data click hole of more and more facts and figures that make me think I really should have paid more attention at maths.
Leia pulls up a file on the computer.
So what we're showing you is essentially an Excel spreadsheet with lots of numbers and lots of figures. And if you squint, or if you wiggle your eyes a little bit, you basically see a map of the planet.
Huh.
And so, and what Jamie's hovering his mouse over at the moment is basically Africa. And then there's Saudi Arabia and that Arabian Peninsula. Then India is over there somewhere. Europe is up here. And there are the stats. That, you know, I think there are certain letters and things that mark out what land is, and that is, what is it, NAN. And then the other numbers are basically roughly where the plastics are.
Wow.
So this is a guy who's, like, deep in this.
It's a mind-boggling sheet of data. And staring at it, I can't for the life of me work out how you would take all those numbers and transform them into sound. And actually, this wasn't the only data the team decided to use. There were other data sets that they decided to incorporate later. But see, that brings up a complication. The nature of the piece is going to be influenced by which data sets the team decided to use. It's like curating an exhibition. What you put in and leave out influences the final message.
See, curation's a good word. It's a word I like to use as well, because it's ultimately storytelling. And what we want to do is we want to be able to tell the story, and we want to tell the most compelling story. And how we do that might be sort of, you know, given a kind of objective eye, because, you know, we live in a fairly privileged white Western society. You know, saying that two of the three people who are actually key in this whole sort of project are persons of color, and two of them are women. But it's you know, it's still one of those things where, you know, we still live in a fairly privileged side of the world. And when we are essentially kind of looking at the stories that we want to tell, we look at the data that we already know that we have and that we can get. You know, in an ideal world, yeah, sure, we'd love to be able to find our own data, but we also know that we haven't got science degrees, and we're not qualified to be able to do so. So in order to actually see what we have and what we use, we see what data is available and what form that data is available.
More after this.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Settling down in the studio, Jamie talks me through how you take that data and make it into music.
Hello, I'm Jamie and I'm part of the Climate Symphony team, and I guess where I come in is the actual, group production of turning data into sound. So we all do everything together. We all investigate everything together. But I guess I'm the person who can actually do the physical, you know, transformation side of things. And you're in my studio. You're very welcome.
So yeah, this is so you've pulled up this kind of graph with four different lines and they're all stretching upwards on the y-axis. So what's that?
This particular graph is about the cumulative plastic waste generation of the world and how it's disposed. And you've got all of the waste that's generated, and then you've got underneath that all of the waste that's discarded, then all the waste that's incinerated, then all the waste that's recycled. And what we've done is we've just had a look at things, had a look at the timeline, and created a sort of guide piece just to see how this might sound if we were going to represent this data.
So Jamie translates the data on his graph to the keyboard. The higher the point on the graph, the higher the keyboard tone.
What we have here is that graph with guides pointing us to different parts of the line graph and then being mapped across to the y-axis, which is also a piano keyboard. And that has given us note values, which we've then put into the project. This process has been refined over time. So before we just used a pen and paper, and now we're using a program to do it. We've also used programs like MaxMSP to create algorithms to do the same sort of thing. But for me personally, because I come from a very sort of straight composer background, it's really nice to be able to see the piano keyboard in front of me and be able to kind of shape things as we go.
Jamie picks out one of the lines on the graph, a red snaking line that wiggles its way upwards. It depicts the amount of plastic waste discarded over time. Then he hits play.
So So it's not doing much at the moment, because at the moment, up until about 1970 on our timeline, nothing's really happening. Divisions of time in this case are going from we're taking a snapshot of 100 years, going from 1950 to a projection into the future, into 2050, about what our use and wastage of plastic is going to be like. So I think at the moment we're at 1990 or something like that on the chart, and so you can start hearing the tone ramp up as our cumulative waste goes up, and so on and so forth. And I'll just very briefly take you through the next piece of data that we just started to look at, which was the increase of plastic production over the last 50 years. It's a string sound which we've looked at, and then we've kind of messed with the actual attack on the very top part of the strings. Imagine like slapping a whole load of the string part of an orchestra, then putting a load of delay on it, and then layering it on top of each other. As this is one set of data, we can layer other sets of data on top of it. So I'll just take you to this picture. This is from the report by the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, who recently did a big plastic report, and they've got some data which is the last 50 years of plastic production increase. So this is another thing that we can represent, and you know, we could make a decision to represent that in a different sound to differentiate the different data.
Take this line of the music, which represents the growth in the amount of plastic used in packaging over time. Now contrast that with this one that shows plastic used in construction. Or here, the growth of plastic used in textiles. And when this piece is done, how do you envisage people absorbing it? I mean, do they need to sit down and read a piece first? Do they need to look at the graphs, or does the piece on its own purely tell the story? How you know, this is quite a new format. Mm-hmm. How do people consume this as a format?
Well, the goal is to see if eventually people will be able to start using sound as a reporting tool. So if you start hearing things and sounds and music and various things coming out from certain places, you know, would you be able to work out what is being said through those sounds? Somehow through a kind of guide or a sort of cipher. We're not there yet. And that's what I kind of, you know, stay up at night dreaming about. You know, for this particular piece, we have a couple of ideas in place. One would be to have a kind of four-screen projection within a gallery space, ideally to see if we can actually get the sort of almost an immersive oceanic experience and having the stats and the data on the walls somehow. If we can't get away with that, then we'll have to find a way of doing that in a more 2D way, with an iPad or a computer or a laptop as a means of actually being able to, again, pardon the pun, but immerse people within the data and also the reality of what that looks like and what that could potentially feel like. And one of the great things about something like sound is, you know, most of the work, or a lot of the work's already done for you when it comes to the feeling aspect, whether you're conscious or aware of it or not. With regards to, you know, however, I mean, Jamie's much better at
being able to explain how sound affects the limbic system. But, you know, that sort of thing is something that we're already kind of conscious of when we're putting something together.
And now, the piece in its entirety. It's called If the Oceans Could Speak, and it's the sonification of a load of different data, shown in cumulative plastic waste generation and disposal from 1950 right up to projections to 2050. In it, you should be able to hear the different types of plastic waste that's being created, including packaging, construction, and textiles. And as the piece grows and swells, we hear that plastic production has increased 20-fold over the last 50 years. Can you hear all that in this?
So there we go, a fascinating project. But is this journalism, or is it just songwriting?
Well, it's not Love Me Do. it's definitely, you know, the principles behind it are journalistic, and the investigation behind it and the process is deeply journalistic, and also it's kind of morals and the ideas are there. But, you know, we're also aware that we're artists. I will maintain that journalism is an art, and will argue anybody in the pub on that. It's just an art that has, I think, wouldn't necessarily say lost its way, but has been utilized as another pillar of power, as opposed to something that is actually out there that's meant to be something that creates meaning. And you know, that's kind of what I'm in that way. I sort of see myself as a kind of journalistic purist in that respect, much more along the lines of the Mark Twains of the world when it comes to how to tell stories and asking questions, rather than somebody who's going to be turning around a bulletin every 15 minutes.
Who knows? Perhaps this could be the future of journalism.
It's a future. Again, we're future mapping this. And, you know, eventually I'd like for other journalists to be able to, and also other musicians and other artists and other people, to actually start thinking about how they tell things. You know, the art and the act of telling, as to, and, you know, and as to what you're listening to. And, you know, where we should be looking in terms of stories and in terms of outlets. For this, the internet is pretty obvious. Galleries are also fairly obvious. You know, but there's also a number of you know, ever-increasing, more mainstream sort of news outlets that are gagging for free content. And, you know, this may or may not necessarily be for them, because, you know, something like this is also an involved process, and it's not just something that we would do in our spare time. And it's something that, you know, we're investing quite a lot of ourselves into in terms of the process and in terms of mind and body energy. So eventually, yeah, there, you know, if we could have a data sonification institute or something, or there could be something, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those sort of how long is a piece of string kind of thing.
And after weeks and months of thinking about how to tell the story of plastics in the ocean through music, Leah and the team found themselves often reminded of the ubiquity of plastic in our daily lives.
Like, even when I'm making dinner, it's one of those things where we're going, do I have to have my pak choi wrapped in plastic? Do I have to have this wrapped in this? Do I have to have that wrapped in this? Why are you giving me a straw? You know, it's, you know, all of these little things are kind of picking at me. And it is changing my behavior to things in a very real way. You know, is data sonification changing my behavior in various ways? I mean, I do look at stories and think, I wonder what that will sound like. Yeah, so, yeah, I do hope other journalists eventually to do the same.
What do you think about the idea of sonifying investigations? Is there something that telling a story through music can do that the written word can't? Or are there limitations to the process? You can tweet us at @tipoffpodcast with your thoughts. Next week.
Yeah, it was different for me, and it felt brave, but ultimately I think that the results were so much more interesting because of it.
Most investigations start out with a hypothesis, a premise that you go out to challenge. But Paul Miles at On Our Radar doesn't work that way.
To start with these really, really open questions, and I felt by doing that you just got so much surprising stuff that you wouldn't normally get.
Paul tells us how a handful of specially made phones and a new way of thinking produced a series of hard-hitting stories about a forgotten community right here in the UK. That's all from this episode of The Tip-Off. Find a link to Climate Symphony's website in our show notes. You can hear another piece they did there using climate change data. It's haunting and well worth a listen. I'm your host and producer, Maeve McLennigan. Our theme music is by Dice Muse. Thank you all so much for your kind reviews and tweets. It's been just an amazing first 6 months of The Tip-Off. We've been absolutely astounded by the support we've got. We made it into Miranda Sawyer from The Observer's top 10 podcasts of 2017, which was just amazing. And it's just been fantastic to know that people out there are listening and are interested. If you have ideas for more investigations you want to hear more about, then please do get in touch. You can email tipoffpodcast@gmail.com or tweet us @tipoffpodcast. And stay tuned for more stories behind the headlines in 2018.